Turn to the book of Romans tonight. We'll be in chapter 4. The book of Romans, chapter 4. This is going to be part 9 of a series that we've been doing on faith in light of the Lamb. Tonight's focus for a few minutes is going to be the righteousness of faith. Very important topic, the righteousness of faith. We've studied, let me just go back and go through what we've talked about so far. Last week was the work of faith. The week before that was the law of faith. Before that, the joy of faith. Then there was the shield of faith. Then there was the breastplate of the righteousness of faith. And before that, in part 3, there was the fight of faith. And before that, boy, we've been going for a while, hadn't we? The spirit of faith. And before that, the first part was the word of faith / the hearing of faith. So if you missed any of those, they're out there for your listening in several places that I won't go through. If you want to know and you don't, after church, get with me and I'll let you know where you can go and listen to all of them free of charge. Hallelujah. How about that? Won't charge you a penny. Glory to God. Isn't it good to have a church to come to that's not charging you anything? Or things online that you don't have to pay for? There's some ministries that you have to pay money to be a part of a group to hear what they're saying. My Lord, the gospel's free. Hallelujah to you. It costs Jesus everything, but it's free to you. And tonight we're going to talk about the righteousness of faith. We'll have one more week in this session, this teaching session. We'll have one more week, and then May the 1st, Andrew and I will begin on Wednesday nights teaching together on Romans 6 for a season. So you want to start bringing your pencils and paper and your open hearts on May the 1st as we dig back into Romans 6. Again, Andrew and I will be dual teaching for a while until we work our way through Romans chapter 6. Tonight we're going to be in Romans chapter 4. Again, the focus is the righteousness of faith. And this is one of the paramount scriptures that's used when we're talking about the righteousness of faith. And that's Romans chapter 4, verse 13, that tells us, "For the promise that he should be," and it's talking about Abraham here, "for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Any time there is the subject of faith, it is always the righteousness of faith. Faith always produces righteousness. Whether it was the first time we believed and we were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that's our position, or we fight the good fight of faith to maintain our faith in the death of Jesus, and now the house begins to be furnished with what you allow. I'm talking about your place in heaven allows to be furnished with substance by what you allow Jesus to do here in your condition. Your position was guaranteed the first time you ever believed in Him, but there needs to be treasure and substance there in the place He's preparing for you. Jesus said you'll lay that up for yourselves, did He not, in Matthew 6 and 20? Did He not say that? No, this ain't word of faith, greed, and blab it, and all that. This is you will lay for yourselves up treasures in heaven. And how we do that is by allowing Jesus to live His life through us by His Spirit. Amen. So every time you talk about faith, you're going to have to talk about righteousness too if you want to get a brighter picture of true faith. Because if faith is functioning, it is the righteousness of faith. Let's say it again. The first time you yielded your heart to trust and believe in the gospel of Jesus dying for you to forgive you of your sins, you were freed from sin and you were made a servant of righteousness and you were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Is that not what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21? He that knew no sin became our sin-bearing offering that we might be made the righteousness of God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody said amen. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30 that Jesus was made unto us righteousness. We know that took place at Calvary through what he did by faith. Because he worked righteousness at Calvary, and the righteousness he was working was the righteousness of the faith he was living by. So that your heart yielded, your faith being placed in Christ, gains you his righteousness because of what he did by faith. So again, if you're talking about faith, you're talking about the righteousness of faith. It's not just faith and faith and faith. It's all. If faith is functioning, number one, it is the spirit of faith. That's the Spirit of God. If faith is functioning, the fruit of any faith at any time is the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit, you can read about in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, You can't separate what fruit is listed there, mentioned there, apart from righteousness. They're the one and the same thing. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Those are the fruits of righteousness. Fruits of what Christ did at Calvary, his work of righteousness, our heart trusting in that. Now the Holy Spirit can love through us when we're not being loved. We can be gentle when somebody else is not being gentle. Amen. The world needs the testimony of God's righteousness today. And it can't have it any other avenue than through the message of the cross and your faith in that with the expression of the life that is expressed through the righteousness of God. Because any expression of Jesus is the fruit of his righteousness. You might say, well, no, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Well, they're one and the same thing. They can't be separated. So remember that. And this is not here in my notes, but could you put Isaiah 54 and 14 on the screen? I'll show you something in the Word tonight. And I do pray that your hearts are hungry for the truth, because if they are, the Lord will fill it. He won't fill your heart. He can't put anything in your heart you're not hungry for. He doesn't just nonchalantly drop something off. He feeds the hungry. I said he feeds the hungry. Isaiah 54 and 14, I'm going to show you something in the Word, and I pray the Holy Spirit show you in a deeper way than I can ever share it with you. In righteousness, everybody say, in righteousness shall you be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now, remember this verse, because the Lord tells us, in righteousness you shall be established. Now, let's look at, where is that? Colossians chapter 2. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, Colossians 2 and 7. It's the verse right after the paramount scripture we've used for years, that as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, like so walk ye in him. Verse 7 right after that says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. You see that? As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Here in this Bible verse, we see that we are established in the faith. In Isaiah 54 and 14, we saw that we're established in righteousness. Well, which one is it? Are we established in righteousness, or are we established in the faith? Well, you can't separate the two, because it's always the righteousness of faith. It is never anything else. No matter what the fruit might be, you loving someone, you feeding someone, you the Lord moving on you to do whatever it is you're doing, that is a fruit of the righteousness of Christ, that which is right in God's eyes. Through your faith in the only thing that any right comes from, and that's the death of Jesus. That's where righteousness was worked. That's where he was made righteousness unto us. And as I said Sunday morning, as a man and a woman must come together to produce fruit, your heart must be touching Calvary's Christ, the death of Jesus, to bear forth fruit. The church doesn't know this, but you do, and I'm thankful that you do, and we should know it. So let's go back to Romans 4. I wanted to show you that. I hope you took the note in your heart there, and you'll look at it, because it's very important. You know, some people say, why do we just need to teach the Bible? Why do we need to always learn sound doctrine? Can't we just get together and have a touch from the Lord? Let me say tonight that you're only as sound as your doctrine. You're only as sound as your doctrine. And what you need may be a touch from the Lord, but the majority of the time His touch upon you is upon your heart and what you need as far as truth in the heart. It pleases the Lord for there to be truth in the inward parts. That's what pleases the Lord. He might touch your body and heal you, and I pray He does tonight. If you need a touch from Him, He can do that just as easy as He can do anything else. Somebody say amen. But the biggest thing, the thing He does the most is He touches our hearts to change us, to make us more like Him. That's what the new covenant's really all about. Romans 4:13 again, for the promise that Abraham should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Do you know that you're an heir of the world? You're an heir of the world. Do you know that the Bible says if you're Christ, then you're the seed of Abraham? You know the Bible says that? Have you ever seen that? Would you like to lay your eyes on the golden view of it tonight? I think it's Galatians chapter 3, maybe the last verse there. We'll just let the Lord lead us tonight. Is it the last verse? Galatians chapter 3, there it is, the beauty of it. Verse 29, Galatians 3. And if you be Christ, say amen. Woo! Hallelujah. It's good to be Christ. Watch this. If you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs of what? What did we just read in Romans 4:13? Heirs of the world. The world belongs to us. I said the world belongs to us. I believe it's Psalms 115:16. The Lord says the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He gave to the sons of the children of men. The world belongs to us. Now, we're not of this world, but we're in it, and the Lord's going to show up and change everything and reign for 1,000 years first to prove who's in charge. Hallelujah. First, He's going to show up and reign on this earth as it is now for 1,000 years to prove who's been in charge all along. Even though He's not showed up and reigning yet, He's still in charge. Don't get all in an uproar about everything that's going on in the world today, because it's Him who's putting everything in order. It might look like everything's falling apart, but if your eyes are beholding the Lamb, for you everything's falling into place. And even in this old world, I promise you, even though it looks like it's falling apart, and it is, it's falling right in line with what's already been prophesied. Men cannot escape what's already been told by the Lord. He made known the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. So we are heirs of the world, but it didn't come to us through the law, through our doing anything. It came to us, we inherited the world through the righteousness of faith. Jesus and what He did by faith as our righteous branch laid His life down as the seed of the woman planted in death so that He could be the true vine of righteousness and we could be a branch grafted in, an old wild branch grafted in, hallelujah, that now has the life flow of Jesus Christ flowing through us. And the expression of that life flow is because of faith, and its expression is that of righteousness. That's what the expression of Christ always is, righteousness. That's what it always is. No matter what else it may look like, it's righteousness if it's true faith. Let's back up a little bit in this chapter and read a little bit earlier in verse 3 and 4 and 5. And look a little bit deeper into this, Romans 4 and 3. For what saith the Scripture? I wish more people wanted to know. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But what did Abraham believe, and God count him as being righteous before him? It was far more than Abraham believed there was a God. It tells us, and you need to highlight this in your Bibles. If it's not highlighted, you need to always remember this right here, because this Scripture tells us what you have to believe, what Abraham did believe, to inherit the righteousness of God, to have God's righteous promise granted to him. And look at verse 4. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that works not but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Where does God justify the ungodly? Only through Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. Nothing is justified in God's eyes if it is not touching Jesus Christ and him crucified. We were not justified till our hearts trusted in the death of Jesus, and nothing we do is justified by God if it's not flowing from a heart yielded to that obedience unto righteousness, so that we can express the one we're serving. God doesn't approve of anything unless it is justified by him. And he only justifies a person or a person's fruit, both, by what they're doing with Calvary, what they're doing with the cross. You can't just say, well, of course I believe in the cross. You have to be trusting in that from the heart. It's a beautiful picture, right? The cross is a beautiful thing. It's the most precious and magnificent and beautiful, marvelous thing that God has ever seen with his eyes among humanity, was what he did in his Son on the cross. The beauty of his holiness offered to men. The beauty of what he would do to say that you can be justified, forgiven of your sin as if you'd never sinned, washed clean. And what I've forgotten all your sin, and I'll bring you into a place where one day you'll be able to forget everything that I have forgotten. Glory be to God. That's a promise right there. One day you're going to be able to forget everything that God's forgotten. My Lord, I'm looking forward to that. Woo! You know, Passover starts on the the 22nd, coming up just about 5 days. I get excited about Jewish feasts and festivals, especially in this time we're living in, because I know whatever God's going to do, he's going to do it based on all that he already set up a long time ago. And Passover is in 5 days. It's about 7 days long. It ends on the 30th, about 8 days. So, you know, and the way things are going on over there in that part of the world, and the way things are going on everywhere, and the judgment that's taking place in America because of its sinful stupidity right now, and the way that God is intensifying those who will become determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified, then you ought to be excited about the time you're living in. Yeah, it's ugly, but that's just one view. The best view is beautiful. Hallelujah. The beauty of God's holiness. I told my mama yesterday, I said, it's getting awful dark in the world, but you know what? The light easier seen and the darker it gets. The light is easier seen the darker it gets. I could light a lighter up here, and you'd have trouble even seeing what I was doing out there. But if somebody turned them lights off, that'd be the only thing you could see in here. And it's getting dark, so you need to wake up every morning shouting, glory be to God, hallelujahs. Amen. But to him that works not, you can't work for it, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted righteousness. Now, this doesn't just go. The church, we've had a bad problem for teaching the whole New Testament based on the initial born-again experience. But once you're born again, you don't need to see the whole New Testament in the born-again experience. You need to see, after you've been born again, the New Testament writings as a way for you to learn the Scriptures to bear forth fruit. The fruits of righteousness. Because remember, God won't justify the fruit if it's not the righteousness of faith. I bring it up all the time in Galatians 2. Peter played the hypocrite. The Bible tells us that. He stepped into a boat of dissimulation. He was moved with fear to serve men that did not believe what he and the Gentiles were believing. And when he was moved by the fear of men to submit and move away from what he knew was right, Paul jumped up right before everybody to his face, the Bible says, and told him, wait a minute, we're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of the Son of God. What was on question there wasn't Peter's salvation, it was his fruit. So God is interested in your fruit, because if we don't have fruit, that's a branch that ain't looking good. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. That's what Jesus taught. So God only allows us to call the faith that he honors our faith. It's only true biblical faith that we can call our faith if it is flowing from what he did by faith, by grace through faith on the in the sacrifice. Faith don't come from nowhere else. We'll see that here in just a minute. We're talking about the righteousness of faith, the righteousness that produced faith for you and me. Everybody knows the faith that you function with, scriptural faith, comes through righteousness, right? I hope we've learned that. You're going to see it again tonight in the Bible. Let me read this first. God only allows us to call the faith that he honors our faith when it is in what Christ did by grace through his faith on the cross. For there righteousness was worked. And only from there can the righteousness of faith be authored and perfected. You see, the cross of Christ is what authored the faith. It's what perfected the faith. And you say, well, there was faith before Jesus ever showed up. Abram, many, many, many years before Jesus showed up. Yeah, but you got to remember what was first. The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So if the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, that means righteousness was before the foundation of the world. Everybody okay? And only from there can the faith of Christ become our faith. It's not even true scriptural faith if it's not flowing from a yielded heart to the death of Jesus. And I'll probably say it the rest of my life. I hope I do. I believe God wants me to. It's why he delivers us unto death always. There's never a moment that he's not delivering us who are alive to death, because it's the only place faith was authored and perfected in the death of Christ. It's the only place that you and I can receive the faith we need. It's the only place from where faith comes. Get that now. You say, well, I thought faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says that, right? Right. I thought faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It does. But the Bible says all God's words are in righteousness. Proverbs 8:8. All God's words are in righteousness. So when faith comes by hearing the Word, we got to be hearing the Word in its righteous context. You see how important that is. You can't just be hearing the Word about money and how God wants to make you rich. You can't just be hearing the Word twisted outside of its righteous context. The righteous context of God's Word is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the righteous context of God's Word. So watch this now. 2 Peter, now I teach all kind of stuff like this in my sessions during the week, and I've been teaching this stuff for a long time. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, so I tell you that because if you're not hearing what I do on Mondays and Fridays, you're missing a boatload of treasure. I'm telling you, it ain't because I'm doing it. It's because it's the Word of God, and the Word of God is the most precious commodity that you and I have on the planet. The Word of God reveals God because the Word of God is God. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, went to the cross for us, was tried, was raised 3 days later from the dead to prove there ain't never been nothing wrong with the Word of God. You can trust it forever in any circumstance. It is forever settled in heaven, and He wants you to forever let it be settled in your heart and let it rule and reign over every other thought that you could have. It's the only thing you've been given to be able to cast down all those vain and unreal imaginations that you have is the Word of God. The Word of God in its righteous context allows faith to come so that the fruit of your life can be the righteousness of faith. Watch this beautiful verse that lays the Scriptures out so beautiful here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter writes this great revelation to you. Do you know it's to you? Do you know the Lord? Peter didn't know he was writing to the folks here at Crossway Church in the woods of Queen City, Texas. But God knew Peter was writing to the Ott family. God knew that Peter was writing to us here. God knew that what was being written down in this book was being breathed by Him into men's hearts, taking ink or whatever they wrote with to get it down so we could have it today. And faith could come. Faith could come. And when faith comes, faith overcomes because it's the righteousness of God that overcame everything at Calvary. Hallelujah. It's the righteousness. It's what was right in God's eyes that overcame everything that men thought was right. How about that? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Have you obtained this like precious faith? If you're saved, you have. But look at the next words. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. What was the avenue through which this like precious faith came to us that allowed us to obtain it? It was the righteousness of God, but see, the Holy Spirit had to add that last part, or we'd just run out and call all kind of things the righteousness of God. So the Holy Spirit said, I got to put a little bit more to put a close in absolute mark right here so that you won't get confused or wander away from what's right. He says, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What Jesus did to save you is the only avenue through which that faith you have obtained comes. Not just initially, my friends, but every time faith comes, it's got to come through the sacrifice of Christ, or it's not going to work. We're going to turn everything into hyper emotions. We're going to turn everything into, if there wasn't some shaking and quaking and quivering going on, then there wasn't a move of God. The greatest move of God there's ever been looked like not even a move of God. Matter of fact, the greatest move of God there ever has been or will ever be actually looked like a move of the devil. That's what it looked like. The devil put Jesus on the cross, he thought. It was God, though, who put His Son on the cross. But what did we esteem Him? Stricken of God. Whatever he thought he was, well, he wasn't. He's stricken of God. But he was stricken of God for our behalf because of our sins. Let's read this again. This needs to be a popular scripture in your heart, and it will if you're after Christ and not the things of this world. So many times we get in the Bible because we're after something other than Jesus. We should not be after anything but Christ. If you get Him and you're gaining more of Him, then you have everything. And you got to gain Christ, you got to be losing something. Every time that you gain a little bit more of Jesus, that means you lost a little bit of something or whatever it was that was hindering your gaining more of Him. What are you willing to lose for Him? What are you willing to lose? It better be your life, the Bible says. If you lose your life, then you'll find your life. Hallelujah. But if you don't lose your life, you won't find true life. Glory be to God. I'm preaching a little bit to you tonight. Let's read this again. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, that's us, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Where did it come from? How did we obtain it? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, through what He did at Calvary. That's the avenue faith comes, not just the first time, but every time. That's why God always delivers you unto death, because if you're not willing to accept that truth of Christ being crucified, not just for you, but you having your union now with Him in that death also, then we don't understand what the cross was really for as it pertains our daily living. We know Jesus had to die to get us into heaven, to get us forgiven of our sins, but what about, how does it pertain to us here now? And if we don't know, then we'll just think we got to do the best we can. That won't ever work. God's not looking for my best, because my best is as filthy rags to Him. Everybody understand it? Well, I'm doing the best I can, God. God says, that's why you're failing. I'm not after the best you can do. I'm after you learning the best I offered you, my son. I'm after you learning Him, being after Him. Quit using my word to try to get stuff and study the word so you can learn to have a better relationship and have a more intimate fellowship with the one who is the living word. The righteousness of the faith is only revealed in the gospel. And the gospel is the preaching of the cross, is it not? Y'all want to see it? Okay. Of course we do, preacher. We're not taking your word for it. That's good. We're in a good church then. Let's look at Romans 1, 16 and 17. Now this is a beautiful verse, but very convicting also. Very convicting. And it should be. The Word of God should always be, we should always read it with great conviction. And I'll show you what I mean in these verses here. Romans 1 and 16, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Watch very carefully now. "For therein," just stop for a minute. Where in? Therein, where? There. In the gospel. The gospel in within, not without, anywhere. Not without, anywhere. In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. It's not revealed anywhere else. It's not revealed anywhere else. The righteousness of God, listen, that brings faith, that faith comes through, is not revealed anywhere else. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So the proof that this doesn't mean the just shall live by faith, it does not mean here that we just all of a sudden live by faith, although that's the first time we believed, from faith to faith, because he's talking about living now, walking now, the experience of faith. living by faith, not just having a title of I'm alive because I once believed. Thank God for that. That's where it's all got to start. But he's talking about here going from faith to faith. This is movement. This is living. This is walking. And this is only experience. Now, a lot of people don't like this, and that's what I mean by conviction. We should be convicted over this. I am when I read it. Even now, I'm convicted because how often do I find myself not going from faith to faith? How I find myself going from dumb to dumb, from me to me, from me, myself, and I to me, myself, and I. I got a good feeling y'all know what I'm talking about. Couple of you holy. I don't know which two it is, but watch now. In the gospel, everybody say, in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. That means, listen, if the righteousness, now you got to get this. If the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel and all his words are in righteousness, Proverbs 8 and 8, then all his words that are in righteousness can only be revealed in the gospel. I ask the Lord for the impartation of what seems to be so simple but can change your whole study life in the Word of God. It can change everything. You learn these truths that you're hearing this evening like you just heard right then, and your study of God's Word will change. You know, when Paul got a hold of the truth of Jesus, that's why he had to go out in the desert for several years. He had to relearn the Word of God all over again. So have I. Had to relearn the Word of God all over again in the light of the Son of God and what he did as the Lamb of God, because that's the gospel. And if we're not preaching and studying and teaching the Word of God in the light of the one who said he is the light, which is Jesus, and what he did as the Lamb, because the Bible says in Revelation 21 and 23, the Lamb is the light, then we've been studying all wrong. We've been just trying to memorize Scripture and quote it and think God's going to do something. Listen, it ain't about our doing. That's good if you can memorize Scripture. I wish you could memorize the whole Bible. Amen. You ain't going to, but I wish you could. But get this now. Why is this important? Because if the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, this is why you have a preacher that God is always, what shall we say, begging you, beseeching you to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Because the faith of the gospel is the righteousness of faith. That's the fruit of it. That's why churches get in trouble. That's why we get in trouble. Our families, we get in trouble because we're not striving for the faith of the gospel, the faith that comes through the gospel. And if that's not what we're striving for, then that's why we find ourselves at odds, because we started looking away from Calvary at people. We started looking away from Calvary to what we wanted. I'm just got to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. For what does the Bible say? The suffering of death. Both times, Hebrews 2:9, Hebrews 12:2, we're told in the Bible, in the New Testament, if you're going to see Jesus, you're going to see him where God's always delivering you to. And that's his death, 2 Corinthians 4:11. Well, I just don't think we ought to keep talking about the cross and the death of Jesus all the time. Well, I think we're going to, because that's where the power and the wisdom comes from, and it's the only place that true faith comes from. Everything else is a high-minded, heady and high-minded, pretending, vain imagination that's not even real. We've been deceived so long, we can watch somebody put on a good show and think, well, I'm not sure that that's not God. And it had nothing to do with the gospel. It had nothing to do with the cross. Jesus wasn't even barely mentioned. Let's read it again because it's so beautiful. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Can you say that tonight? Will you be able to say it tomorrow in the lunch hour at work? I was telling somebody yesterday. Who was I telling? Oh, like yesterday at lunch. I had lunch with my brother and his wife and my mother. And somehow we got caught back up in my testimony. This year will be 30 years when June gets here. We'd be in heaven by then. Glory be to God. He's coming tonight anyway. If Brother Dale was here tonight, he'd say, amen! But he's already there. But I don't know how we got into that conversation yesterday, but I remember the day that I carried a Bible into work instead of drugs. I said, them people got scared of me. They were scared. What's wrong with him bringing a Bible up in here? He's been selling me dope for 10 years. 14 to be long. Now you don't bring a Bible up in here and read it and try to go around and talk to folk about it. That's what happened when you believe in the gospel. You ain't got to know the deep theological truth. You ain't even got to know this stuff we're talking about tonight, but oh, how it'll help you if you do. Oh, how it'll help you if you do. This is a part of what it means to seek God with your whole heart. Seek Him in His Word. Not go out and sit by a tree and call yourself seeking God. Go out there and sit by that tree, but you better take one of these with you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dewey. From faith to faith. Let's read it again. It's beautiful. I got time to read it again. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Boy, there's a lot of people are today. A lot of people are today. Some preach so ashamed they won't even preach it. They're ashamed enough, they won't even get determined to know nothing else about it. Nothing else but that. That's called being ashamed of it. I'm ashamed to just know the cross. I'm ashamed. I don't even want to be known with it. I don't even want to be related. I don't even want to be associated with them people. All they want to do is preach the cross and warn against everything that ain't trusting in the cross. The Lord reminded me today the reason He gave, the reason, I'm going to start teaching on this pretty soon. I'm going to make a whole new session for it. The reason He said in Malachi, my covenant of life and peace is with Levi. Oh, that's beautiful. I saw that and I went to see what that was for, and it was for something. I thought it was because of another reason. I thought it was for the reason when Moses came down the mountain that day and Israel done built a golden calf and was worshiping false gods through satanic influence. And Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? And a part of the Levites came out. I thought it was because of that. That ain't even why. That's not even why. You're going to hear about it pretty soon. I'm going to try to tell it a little bit just for a minute. It's when somebody in Israel was causing Israel to go, the Bible calls it, go a-whoring after other gods. And I think Phinehas, maybe, I'll get it right. Phinehas was a son of Eleazar, who was a son of Aaron, who was one of the priests. And God said, go bring all them people of Israel, all them men of Israel, who went a-whoring with all these other women of Moab and bring them here, and 24,000 in one day God put them to death. Because those other people, those other nations, you submit to their gods when you go after their people. And there was one, I'm being nice, but there was a big dummy. He was like some folk today I know. This one guy, He went and got one of them women. He is, I guess, the one he had gotten. And he brought her right in before everybody into a tent to be seen. And this Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, he went and got a javelin. It was a Levite. And he went in that tent and he jabbed through that man and through that woman and killed him and said, guess when God said, my covenant is with Levi because of that. His zeal, that's all about my zeal. So don't come telling me we ought not be warning. Don't come telling me that there's too much warning. The zeal of God will preach the cross, and the zeal of God will warn against everything that's dabbling in anything that's not the cross. Let's read it again. That was a little exit. Let's get back on the highway. You're going to be hearing about it, though. I wasn't kidding about that. I'm just going to start doing some episodes, and I'm not going to do them live, but I'm going to do them and put them out there. It's Lord stirring my heart about the Levitical priesthood, because we are the new covenant Levites, so to speak. We are the new covenant priesthood. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Because therein, this is why I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because inside the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith, you got to be walking in this. You got to be living in this. You got to let the Lord deliver you unto death. You got to accept your place of being dead with Christ and hidden with Him in God, Colossians 3:3. You have to accept that this world is not your home, that you're not trying to make a name for yourself. You're not trying to build a kingdom here. You're dead with Jesus and hidden in God. That is your union as a Christian. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The faith that's revealed in the righteousness that's revealed in the gospel. The righteousness of faith. One more verse, I got to quit. I've already quoted it, but let's look at it real good for a second. Philippians 1:27. I tell you, do you good to listen to this message again. I might listen to it again myself. I don't do that often, but every once in a while I do, and I listen, and I say, is that me preaching that? You ever done that, Brother Don? You preach something, you listen to it, and you go, is that me? How did I know that? The Lord gave it to us. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation, the word means conduct, be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. This is a life where we're living, and the expression is Christ, but another term for it is the righteousness of faith. Let your conversation, your conduct be as it becomes what? Becomes like a denomination? God forbid. Like some preacher? God forbid. Let your conduct be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Our lives, God's looking, what's God looking for in my conduct? The gospel. The good news of what Jesus did at Calvary, that whether I come and see you or else I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast, watch very carefully now, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. Striving. It's what we're reaching for. That's what we have in commonality. That's what we have. That's what allows us to function in the unity of the faith, because it's the unity of the faith of the gospel. Amen. So this word striving, we're told to be found, the way that we're found with our conduct becoming the gospel is by striving. And that word, look it up, I hope you do, it means to contend, to struggle, to endeavor, and to aim for the faith of the gospel. See, this proves that a Christian's life is not just about having been saved, it's about striving to experience the salvation we did once receive. Now it's the fruit of our salvation God's looking for. That's why he says, study to show yourself approved. Study the word to show yourself approved unto God. He's already approved you through your faith in the blood, but he's looking for the fruit of his approval on your life. And he can't approve anything that's not righteous. Again, this is convicting for even anybody, all of us. It's convicting. It's like hearing Jesus teach on the Mount of Olives, the Beatitudes, and you think, well, man, I ain't doing good at this at all. It's convicting, and it makes us desire to give more of our whole heart to the Lord to be more like him. But it takes the gospel, the power of the gospel, to be more like Jesus. It takes far more than going to church and reading your Bible and having a prayer life and fasting. It takes the power of the cross, which is the gospel, moment by moment. Moment by moment. Because at any moment, I'm not looking and trusting in the sacrifice. Man, I'm susceptible to do the biggest piece of stupid you've ever seen that could cause 10 years of horror for somebody else's life and mine. You understand that? It's like the man who'd been faithful all his life, 40 years as a Christian. Man, he just did everything. Man, he was faithful to God, and he went on a business trip. Been a long time since I told this story. And he was in the hotel, and some prostitute came along and tempted him, and he'd been tempted many times and overcome it, just went on about his business. But this one time, he gave in to this prostitute. And the next morning, he woke up. The room is empty besides him, and on the mirror was written in red lipstick, welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS. One look away from Calvary. One look away from the Lamb can bring years of misery. That's why it's called the good fight of faith. You must fight to keep looking to the Lamb. I don't care what everybody else says. You must fight the good fight of faith. You've heard me say it recently. The alcoholic, his life began with one drink. The drug addict, his whole drug addiction life now began with one pill, one hit, one whatever. And the wayward Christian who is in a world of mess tonight, it began with one look away from Calvary. Don't look away from where God delivers you always to, so that you can experience the righteousness of faith in your marriages, on your job. People need to see Christ. Amen. They don't give a flip about where you go to church or who your preacher is. Some of them will laugh at you if you tell them. They need to see Jesus. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you tonight for the Spirit of God. We thank you tonight for the blood of Jesus through which we have access to all these things. We thank you for this word that was ministered this evening as a reminder to be determined, to know nothing other, to boast in nothing other, to contend for nothing other than the faith of the gospel, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for hungry hearts who are becoming more and more sincere about living with you, about going from faith to faith, about a greater desire to express you in places where most people don't even talk about church, much less the relationship we have with you. Oh, I pray for a holy boldness to come across your people's hearts in these last days, to feel the hearts, rather, of your people. I pray tonight, Lord God, for this revival that you brought us to some many years ago, that it would expand and take over this nation. I ask for what seems impossible, but I know it's not, because I know you. And I ask you, Lord God, to have your way. Lord, help those who've struggled, who's wavered for the sake of building something other than your kingdom, for the sake of financial gain, for the sake of people. Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us and help us to just simply find ourselves among those who are of one mind, one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel, experiencing this faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes through his work of righteousness. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Why don't we all just lift our hands where you are for a minute? Just worship the Lord God. Called us here tonight to worship him. Called us here tonight to impart truth into our hearts. Even those of you who are in the Amen corner watching online right now, he gathered you with us tonight to worship him, to impart truth, crucial truth, into your hearts that will help you stay the course and not be distracted and waver in the days ahead, to recognize the error that is everywhere and the truth of the gospel that is offered. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that makes us free, liberates us not just from sin, but from everything that tempts us to sin, delivers us from everything that hinders the truth of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, we praise you tonight, Lord. We ask you to build your church in this region, Lord, to cause those who are hungry and thirsty for your righteousness, oh, to find that way of truth, that way of life, Jesus, and that sacrificial work through which it comes. Hallelujah to the Lamb. If you're here tonight and you need us to pray something for you, you can come to this altar. It's open. We'd be glad to pray for you tonight. God hears you right where you are, right where you stand. He hears that heart being poured out to him. He hears the cry of your heart. He hears that heart that says, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been trying, Lord. Help me to see what you did. Help me, Lord, to fight this good fight of faith. Help me to stay focused on my Savior. Help me, Lord. We need your grace. We need your grace. We thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your presence in this place and your manifest presence that imparts truth, that changes lives, that sends us out the door different than the way we came in. I thank you tonight for that sword of truth. Oh, I thank you, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, who are struggling with this truth, struggling, tossing back and forth between ministers and men instead of just staying focused on the sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for building your church in our Oklahoma, Texas region. We thank you for adding to your church in this region. We thank you, Lord, for bringing about a unity among your church in this region that the church has never known anything about in its entire existence in this Oklahoma, Texas. And I pray, God, for the humility and the obedience in the Spirit to be found in the days ahead that will shock us and amaze us at the grace of God in the days ahead. We praise you for it. We thank you for it. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, every person in this place, every person who's watching on that internet right now, who's got some kind of issue in their physical body, I thank you for the miracle working power of Jesus tonight. I thank you for the healing hands of Jesus laid upon them to bring wholeness to their bodies. The miracles that only you can work through your Son, Father. And I thank you for them tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the eye-opening revelation of the truth of the gospel tonight laid before us, offered to us. Once again, and we give you all the praise for it tonight in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to stay where you are? You do not have to stay where you are. You can grow and you can see more of your Savior than ever before. Praise the Lord. Have a good evening. I love you and God loves you. I'll see you next time.